invite you to turn back to Psalm 73. We preached out of this morning. And just want to touch on something here that Brother Asaph declares and his the shape that he got in and how he wrote this. He wrote this after the fact of what he had gone through and what he had seen, and the Lord reminded him of and brought him to. And he says in verse number 25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. Whom have I in heaven but thee?" I think it does us good to take the scriptures and what the Lord has given us. The book of Revelation is a book that we try to understand. There's a blessing just for reading it. Let us remember that. There's a blessing for just reading it. We don't have to understand it completely. I think that in some things the Lord has shown us, and we can be fairly confident that we understand the truth and the application of it. Other things, we just don't know yet. We just don't know how it's going to be. But when it's time, as we mentioned this morning, when it's time, we will see, we will understand, and we will know what the Lord meant. But we can take the book of Revelation, and with the book of Revelation, what's mentioned in that book, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and to our brother John, there on the Isle of Patmos, we can have an understanding, a little bit of an understanding about who is in heaven, in the throne room of God in heaven, that third heaven. And as we will go there this afternoon and just take a look around through the scriptures, we would consider, I want us to consider, who do you have in heaven? Who do you have in heaven? In Revelation chapter 4, who is this that Brother Asaph speaks about, and who is it that you have? In Revelation chapter 4, we see this in verses 1 and 2. "After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.' Verse 2, 'And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven.'" The throne room in and of heaven. The throne room of heaven, earth, and all that exists. That's where John, what was revealed unto John. Who is it that is in heaven? Well, in verse number 4 of this chapter, it says, "And around about the throne," so there's this throne, "were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting." And we have thoughts about who that might be, okay? And we have what our Lord Jesus told the apostles. So we have thoughts about who that could be. We don't know exactly. But nevertheless, there's these 20 seats, and 24 elders were there and sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. We have this promise that was given to Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel, in Daniel 12:13, "But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest," the Lord speaking to Brother Daniel, "and stand in thy lot in the end days." And so it could be that these elders are the apostles and then select of the Lord from the nation of Israel, or it could be 24 others that we just don't even know about. Nevertheless, these elders are there. In verse number 10, it says, "And the 24 elders, they fall down, and they worship, and cast their crowns before the throne." And so the picture is developing about this great throne in heaven, and there's these 24 elders there on these seats upon which they sit and the worship that they do. And in chapter 5, we see here in verse number 5, that there was a weeping that was going on because there's this book that's brought forth, and nobody is qualified to take the book from the hand of the one that sits upon the throne and holds it. No one's qualified or able to be able to even to look upon the book. And it says there in verse 5, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not," because he's got some good news. And there's one there that takes that book, and he's able to take it. And when he does, in verses 8 and 9, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of all odors," it says there, "which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying." And so we see here that there is one that sits upon the throne, and that there's one there that is able to take that book. And we see the elders, how they worship before the throne regarding this. They are worshiping not another elder, but someone that's there. In chapter 7, we see more and hear more from the elders there. In verse number 13, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me," to John, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And he said unto him, "Sir," John saying to the elder, "you know." And so he said unto him, he talked to them about them. And so these elders are there, and they're active, they're worshiping. And in this revelation to John of the Lord Jesus, they are communicating with him and doing the things that they're doing and helping John to know and understand. Also in Revelation chapter 4, we see that there's some other creatures that are there. And then the throne room of heaven, we have this throne, we have the 24 elders that are there. And we see in chapter 4, verse number 6, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." Verse 7, "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." Have you ever seen the like? Well, we know about those creatures, and we know what those creatures look like on earth. But these creatures in heaven certainly, certainly are different. We have an understanding about how they appear. And the four beasts, verse number 8, had each of them six wings about him. Well, we are used to birds having two wings. Some mammals have two wings. But to have six wings? We're not used to that, are we? But we understand about wings, and we understand about lions. So in this, the Lord gives us a glimpse about these. And these are there, they're part of the throne, this great throne that has been spoken about. And it says that they were full of eyes within, and they rest not night and day. That means they never sleep, they never stop, saying, "Holy, holy, holy," proclaiming glory and honor to the Lord. In chapter 6, we hear from one of these four beasts, and there's something that happens. And Brother John declares there, "And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts came," or one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." So these beasts, these creatures that, like a lion, like a calf, like a face of a man, and, well, that's odd for us that a beast, a creature, would have the face of a man. It's only men that have the faces of men. But this is the throne room of God. This is not the creation of the earth. Some extraordinary things are being described to us here. And these beasts, one of them speaks to John and says, "Come and see." In verse number 3, as he says there, "And I heard the second beast say, Come and see." And so they speak to John. The opening of the third seal of this book of the judgment of God Almighty, the third beast says to John, "Come and see." And in verse number 7, the same from the fourth beast. So that beast that was like a lion, and had a face, the one that had a face like a calf, the third like a face like a man, and the fourth like a flying eagle, they all spake to John and said, "Come and see." So these beasts are there. The 24 elders are there in the throne room of God. And I would venture that this isn't just something that has been done or accomplished for John's sake, but I would say that this is what's ongoing in the third heaven. Far beyond anything that we could even imagine or comprehend. But the Lord in His Scripture and His Word and this revelation of Jesus, He takes and He pulls back the veil of it a little bit for us to glimpse in. We have to receive it by faith. And certainly I'm one with the book of the Revelation that certainly we need to take the Word of God always literal. Never take it and spiritualize the Word of God first, but always take it literal first and look to apply it that way and save any kind of spiritual application or allegorical application unless the Word tells us plainly or we are left with nothing else literally. So the throne room of God, it's a marvelous place. Do you think it's dark in the throne room of God? Or is it bright? From what Brother Isaiah tells us, from what Brother Ezekiel tells us, from what John tells us, it's a bright, bright place. We think about the glory of God and the brilliance and the brightness of God. Oh, what a wondrous place it is. Who do we have in heaven? And then there's this in Revelation chapter 5. We pick it up in verse number 2. And John says, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? And that was what was at hand there that John wept about. And to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look upon it thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look upon the book, to see its content, to deal with it in confidence and in strength and power. So here we have the revelation of a strong angel. Angels. You know, the Sadducees didn't believe in angels, did they? But certainly we believe in angels. We know that it is so that there are angels. And understand that there's not a thing in the Word of God that tells that angels are likened to little fat babies that are naked. Don't buy into that angels are like little fat babies that are going around naked and their bottoms exposed. That's not what the Scripture tells us about that. There are many people in over time and in the world that have thought that angels are the thing that you really, really need to be tuned in to angels. Angels are ministering spirits of God. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. He's got an innumerable number of angels. We can't number them. We can't know how many there are. And in the beginning, as it was when Lucifer rose up and the archangel that seemed to be a part of the throne of God, he was the one that covered. He was the cherub that covered. He was made more glorious and fabulous than any other, we understand. And he fell by transgression. He fell by the desire to be like God rather than be in the place that God had made for him. He drew a third part of the angels with him, it tells us in the book of the Revelation. Angels are powerful creatures. They are the creation of God. They are either fallen with Satan or they are ministering spirits to the saints. They are the Lord's, one of His hosts. He's the Lord of hosts, plural. And the angels are one of the hosts that He has. And He uses them to work in the things of the world on behalf of His people. They're not to be worshipped. But we are to know that they do exist. And they are there doing the bidding and the work of God. We see in this same chapter of Revelation 5, verse 11, and I looked, I beheld, and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, John says, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands of thousands. Well, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. And if you say that he just keeps adding three zeros to the end of that, it could be a quadrillion. It's beyond our comprehension how many there are. We see another thing, and they were saying with a loud voice, it says in verse number 12. So they were proclaiming something there in verse number, or in chapter 12, or chapter 5. Another thing, or another group of folks or people or another group that we want to see in the scriptures there in the throne room of heaven is mentioned in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. The martyrs for Christ's sake, they were put to death on the earth for the sake of the word of God. The elders, the four beasts, the angels are there in heaven, and the saints martyred. We see in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and of kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying. So there's the great multitude of the saints that are there, and John giving give an understanding even about the future to our time. But all the saints from Adam are there in glory in the third heaven, in the throne room of God with the Lord. They're there. They don't ever leave there. When the saints of the first millennia of the age of this earth, when they died and went on to be with the Lord, they've never left there. They've never got tired. They never got hot and sweaty. They never had to get their clothes washed. They never got a sore throat. They've been there. And they're there now with our Lord. A great multitude. Again, we see in chapter 8, John says that he saw seven angels which stood there on the relative to the vision of the earth, and to them were given seven trumpets. And so angels with assignments to do different things. Another angel is mentioned in that same chapter in verse number 3. Another angel came and stood, and he had a golden censer. There was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So there's an altar there before the throne of God in the third heaven. It says there that the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up, and it was at the hand of the angel doing so on the altar. Verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, thunderings, lightnings, an earthquake, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So there are angels that are there that are preparing to do something. There's an angel there that, if you will, is looking to direct what will be done and for that to be done first. There's all these different ones there in glory in the throne room of heaven. There before the one that sits upon the throne. Who do you have in heaven? We see in Revelation chapter 11 this testimony, and we talk about this from time to time, about who might it be? Is it Brother Enoch? Is it Brother Elijah? Is it Moses? Is it Daniel? We don't know. But this are the two witnesses. And he says in Revelation 11, verses 3 and 4, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. This is in the last in the last days before the millennia and the judgment of the Lord upon the earth. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, a very long time. And they'll do so clothed in sackcloth. They'll do that on the earth. Verse number 4, And these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. So there in that throne room where that throne is, the 24 seats with the 24 elders, the four beasts there that are connected and part of the throne of God, there's two olive trees and there's two candlesticks that represent those two witnesses. And when everybody in glory looks upon that, they know exactly who that represents and who that's for. And they will be there and they will prophesy. They will be given power. They will be a testimony to the Lord's nation. They will be a testimony of the Lord's power and coming judgment to the earth. And they will be killed. But in verse number 12, we hear, "And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither, because there'll come a time when the Lord, after they've lain there in Jerusalem dead, that the Lord will bring them back to life. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." There'll come a day that they'll stand there in the throne room of God, having done that work that the Lord called them to do in that day to come. Who do you have in heaven? I tell you what, there's some interesting things in heaven in there, in glory. Four beasts created the way that they are, and they just nonstop declare holy, holy, holy unto God. Elders that when it's right and the time is appropriate, they bow down before the Lord and they cast down their crowns and they worship God that sits on the throne. The people of God that were martyred for the sake of the Word of God are there under the altar there that's before the throne of God. And the saints, like a sea of glass, they can't be numbered. There's so many. They're there in glory too. Who do you have in heaven? Some people say that we really need to be in tune to the angels and about angels. A lot of people say that our loved ones are up there in heaven looking down on us doing this or that. I think indeed that the Scripture bears out that all those that pass into eternity want those of their loved ones that to remain to know the truth about eternity. I believe that that's so. But whether it be the sinner that's unrepentant and unbelieving, suffering and in hell, or the saint of God that's been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ that's in that throne room of God, they are there. The saints are glorifying the Lord. And they're not, they want right things for us, but they're not interested in our affairs. They're worshiping God. And the sinner without Christ is suffering eternally. Who do we have in heaven? Well, all of these are focused upon one in heaven. All these that we've mentioned. See, there's one that sits on the throne. In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and the sight in sight like unto an emerald." Verse 5, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And so the seven spirits of God there before the throne and one that is sitting upon the throne. What is it that the four beasts and the four and 20 elders say? Well, in this same chapter we see in verse 8, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty." We see their focus, which was and is to come. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne." We see the trigger for the 24 elders, don't we? When the beasts proclaim, the 24 elders, they they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So we see here the focus of the four beasts and the 24 elders. You know, in going to the jail over the years and seeing some of the art that comes out of the jail, some of it is just wicked. It's just terribly, terribly wicked. Men muse or are ill-affected by wicked spirits or Satan himself in some of the things that they draw. There seems to be, in the entertainment world, there seems to be a drawing to the very wicked, the devilish and such as that. There's a desire in fallen man and wicked man to desire, how can I say that to where you can understand, to desire things that are just devilish. The thing is, these creatures of God, these four creatures of God that are about His throne, are holy and righteous, created by God. And they would strike fear into us if we would see them with our eyes, and would cause any wicked thing devised by man to just pale in comparison to the holiness and the terror by power and strength and might and greatness of the throne room of God. You understand what I'm saying? Men want and seek after these devilish things, but the terror of the goodness of the throne room of God would cause all to faint and be destroyed. I think that it is so that in the book of the Revelation, it reveals unto us that the horror that men seek after, and that the Lord is going to give that to them, and He's going to do that in a righteous way with some of the creatures that He creates that won't be just the figment of their imagination, but will be true. But we see here what the focus of these four beasts and the 24 elders and what they say. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Because he says here, Thou hast created, they say, Thou art hast created all things in verse 11, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So they give testimony to his greatness, to his everlastingness, and that he is the creator of all things. In verse number 1 of chapter 5, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, which is written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And what is it that one of the elders says? John declares unto us, as we've read, that there's no one to open the book. But one of the elders tells him in verse number 5, Weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, not one of the beasts, not one of the elders, not an angel, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Who do you have in heaven? We see in chapter 5 and verse number 6, And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. Verse 7, And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. See, they are the ones upon whom is the focus. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They'd been falling down before the one that's on the throne, but now they fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, and the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Verse 10, And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, as we've mentioned before. So the focus is upon the Lamb. The focus is upon the one that sits on the throne. The focus is upon the one that can take the book from his hand and is worthy because of what he's done. What's it say? You are worthy to take the book. Why? Because you were slain. Because you redeemed us by your blood. And you're redeemed from every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every nation on the earth. What do the many angels and beasts and elders say? They say in verse number 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and every creature on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Verse number 14, "And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever." It says in chapter 6 and verse number 9, "And when the Lamb had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held," which we've seen. And what is it that they say? See, there are those that say that we ought to be interested in the martyred saints, that there are those that even say that they are worthy to be worshipped. But what is it that they say? "And he cried with a loud voice, saying," verse 10 of chapter 6, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." The Lord, they plead with the Lord, and they say, "Lord, how long?" Are they saying that over and over again? "Lord, how long are you going to take to judge the world? How long is it going to be before you avenge our blood upon those that dwell upon the earth?" And they're given white robes. And they said, the Lord tells them, I believe it's the Lord, he tells them, "There's others to come. There's other of your fellow servants that are going to be slain the way you were. And when they get here, when that is done, then I'll take care of it." Their focus is upon the Lord. In chapter 7 and verse number 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." And who are they worshiping? Are they worshiping the beasts? Are they worshiping the elders? Are they worshiping the angels? Are they worshiping the martyred saints? No, they're worshiping the Lamb. This great multitude declares in verse number 10 of chapter 7, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and about the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God." They're not the focus, but He is the focus. "And they said, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders in verse 13 of chapter 7 answered, saying unto me, "What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? Whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, verse number 14, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Maybe there's someone that we should focus upon. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve God day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, or any heat, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. He's the focus, isn't he? He is their focus. He is their Savior and provider. And he shall feed them and lead them unto the living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Here we see the greatest manifestation, the greatest eternal manifestation of what Brother David wrote in Psalm 23, don't we? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And indeed, they do and we will. That's the focus of all those in glory. Who do they have in heaven? The Lamb. Who do you have in heaven? If you're saved, you have the Lamb, the Lord. Brother Asaph said it, "Who do I have in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee." But you know what? In contrast, I think it does us well for all of us that are here, and especially if you're here and you're not saved, let us see in contrast of all these in glory and who that they focus upon and who we who are saved upon this earth, who we focus upon. He is the one that we have in heaven. He is the one that we desire, the one that has saved us. And he is the one that has made great and wondrous promises unto us that we just can't fully comprehend the extent of those being manifested. But what is it that dead men say? What is it that the unrepentant and unbelieving say about the Lamb? Well, that's manifested to us in Revelation chapter 10, Revelation chapter 6, verse number 12. And I beheld when the Lamb had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. That means black, light blocking. It's not this little bit of light shining through it. It is just black. And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when the fig tree is shaken by the wind, and that fruit that's upon it comes to the ground when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Who do I have in heaven but thee? Oh, we look on at the Lamb as is given to us in the Scriptures, and we say, there's none other that we desire above you. He's loved us. He's proven his love towards us. He's given himself for us. He's redeemed us. He's saved us. Who do we have in heaven but him? There's none other. He is the one to whom we look and to whom we desire and who we look to see. But it's a contrast for the wicked, isn't it? They don't have someone in heaven. When they look upon the Lamb, what they see and what they know is nothing but destruction, damnation, and condemnation, and terror. They seek to be hidden from the face of the Lamb. The saved, Brother Asaph said it, we desire to see the face of the Lamb. The wicked, the unrepentant, and the unbelieving desire to have their face hidden from the face of the Lamb. Psalm 73, verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire before thee. You're first. My flesh and my heart faileth. Yeah. This old man's got to die. We need to be mortifying him now. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Whom have I in heaven but thee, Lord?